When you're hanging out in downtown Kansas City, working in an office building, or living in a studio apartment, it's easy to forget how close the great outdoors really are. Just outside the city's perimeter, there are lakes, hiking trails, and...
We have a great blue heron down here on the island of the lake. You can see under the tree over there.
That's Cliff Middleton. He makes sure that there are lots of places in Johnson County where humans can coexist with birds, bugs, and flowers. He took us on a hike in Shawnee Mission Park. We saw geese, bluebirds, honeysuckle, and a lake full of fish. Hiking trails took us through the whole park from untouched fields of tall yellow grass to a popular swimming lake with a beach and picnic shelters. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we're looking for the best hiking, biking, and horseback riding trails in Kansas. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us where you like to take a hike in the Sunflower State. That's 816-235-2888. Our guests are a pair of siblings, brother and sister, who have written a new book called The Kansas Trail Guide. Jonathan Connard, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, it's good to be on.
Thanks. And Kristen Connard, thanks for joining us this morning as well.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Kristen, did you guys grow up enjoying trails like the ones you write about?
I think we spent a lot of our vacations doing day trips in Kansas, and then we did a lot, I think, sort of in neighboring Colorado. And so it was kind of a surprise to see what the trails were here, sort of as we grew up, because when you were younger, I think we sort of went out of state to find places to go and perhaps didn't realize what we had that was so close by.
When did you start making that realization that there was more to offer in Kansas trail-wise than you had realized?
I think it was actually more so through my brother. He had the idea for this, and I thought, well, is there actually anything there? And then as we started doing some research, that's when it sort of like, oh, yeah, there is a lot that we could do here. So,
and Kristen, you are now living out of state, right?
Yes.
Where do you live?
I currently live in California along the Central Coast.
So was it funny to be working on a guide to trails in Kansas when you're in California? I mean, it's kind of like a mecca of trails.
Exactly. It's funny. I tell people here that I wrote the book and they're surprised. They're like, oh, what is there there? And I think it's an opportunity to kind of advocate. And I still consider Kansas home. So,
Jonathan, yeah. What made you want to write this book?
Well, I have always had an interest in trails, and I thought, you know, there really needs to be something out there that kind of takes all of the information on trails and puts it together in one place, just as a resource for people to have to promote outdoor activity and just let them know what all is out there and available.
How did you start knowing what all was out there and available?
Oh, I'd done some hiking around the area and was familiar with some local trails, and then, you know, it's just a lot of time spent reading previous information and trying to pull all of that together. But you know, it just takes kind of a lot of work to figure out what all is out there.
Jonathan, what did your research consist of?
Oh, so initially we tried to identify all of the different state parks or natural areas that had trails available. And from there, we focused on narrowing down our list to those that we considered to provide, the best or the top recreational opportunities. And then we got into more of the field work phase where we actually were hiking those trails, mapping those, figuring out what was it about them that made them particularly interesting.
I want to ask this of each of you, but I'll start with you, Jonathan. What was it like to take this on as a brother-sister team?
I enjoyed it. It actually worked out pretty well. My sister and I get along pretty well, and so she has a really good background in terms of writing, and I have a little bit more background in terms of hiking, so I thought that it was a pretty good combination to use both of those skill sets.
Kristen, you're laughing.
I was talking to my parents about this, and I think when we were younger, I wasn't always necessarily as much of a fan as of the kind of outdoor stuff. So they were almost a little surprised when I sort of signed up for this and like, okay, this is going to work. But I think we worked well together. The sort of divide and conquer worked well. And then it was just a lot of support in terms of getting the writing and everything done. And, I think our strengths and our skills kind of balanced out, and we both learned things from each other. And, it worked out, I think, perhaps surprisingly well. So
you guys, you've written that Kansas has 8 physiographic regions. Maybe, Kristen, will you start by telling me what that means?
It's basically like the style of the landscape that you would be looking at. So really broadly speaking, like you have the Flint Hills to the east, and then you have like the short grass prairie as you move west. So it's just kind of what you can expect to see in that region. So like from the, again, the east has a lot of different, like the uplands and the Osage Cuestas, like different, more hilled areas, and then the high plains, as it sort of levels out, and they each have their own characteristics. And so they each, the trails there each have their own variation.
So Kristen, living in California, what was the physiographic region of Kansas that surprised you the most as you worked on this? Can you tell us about it in a little more detail?
I would say actually I found the most unexpected things out west in the high plains. There was Smoky Valley Ranch, which seems very much in the middle of nowhere, but there's these Cretaceous formations, these giant sort of yellow cliffs just in this middle of this pasture that you get to hike around. It's from millions of years ago, which is pretty cool. And then they also have like the historic context of like the trails at Cimarron National Grassland down in the southwest corner. There's like that's the Oregon Trail went through there, and there's this sort of layers of history, and then there's sort of unexpected these lines of cottonwoods that you wouldn't expect out in the middle of, again, like the high plains, and where people think it's just flat and nothing. So I think that was sort of the most surprise, that where you think there'd be nothing, there is actually stuff there that's really interesting.
Jonathan, is there another region that you'd want to sort of describe for us in a bit of detail, a region that maybe people in the Kansas City and Lawrence areas don't visit quite as much?
I would agree with what Kristen said about the high plains are certainly some really surprising areas out there. The other area that I'd say would be the Flint Hills region. And, you know, having one of, I guess, the last great expanses of tallgrass prairie right here in our own state, and being able to hike through that at places such as Konza Prairie, Tallgrass Prairie National Preserve, I think that those were some of my favorite trails, and I definitely recommend people checking out that particular part of the state if they get a chance.
So tell us more about those two trail systems, the one at the Konza Prairie and the one at the Tallgrass Prairie National Preserve.
Sure. So the Konza Prairie is actually a very interesting site. It's near Manhattan, Kansas. It's actually used primarily as a research facility for Kansas State. And along with ecological research, there's also a very nice trail network. So there's 3 loops that vary in length from around 2 to up to 6 miles. It goes right through kind of these rolling upland hills of tallgrass prairie, and you get to see things in a very pristine state. So it's a wonderful place to experience the prairie.
Am I remembering correctly that is it sometimes closed for research, or is it open all the time to the public?
Well, there are certain times during which they would close the trails. They have an active prescribed burning program to help maintain the prairie and also for part of the research. So occasionally there may be times when it's closed, but for the most part, it's open. It's open year round.
And then the Tallgrass Prairie National Preserve.
Yes, that's down by Strong City, kind of in the heart of the Flint Hills. And they have a truly extensive network of trails. There's a lot of history there as well. The original ranch headquarters, there's a massive stone barn that's present there as well that are interesting to look at. And then as far as the hiking trails go, there's 12, 13 miles of trails, again, that just go back into the Flint Hills. And so you can really get to a spot where you're just surrounded by prairie, the wildflowers, they've got a bison herd there. So there's really
the bison herd.
Things.
I think we should talk a little more about the bison herd. I went hiking there, and I remember I was startled by, because of the sort of expanse of the land and the size of bison, I really couldn't tell how close I was to them, and it was a little unnerving.
Mm-hmm. When you're in those open, when you're in just those wide open grasslands, it's easy to lose your sense of scale. And, you know, the trail goes right through the bison pasture. There's really nothing in between you and them. And so it's a really unique experience, certainly.
What do you guys know? Kristen, maybe you know about this. Do you know what the repopulation of bison, like how that project is going or the story behind it? Because I think that is just within the last few years that they've been repopulating bison in that tall grass preserve.
I would say I'm not actually as up on that. That was one of the regions, Jonathan, that you looked at, so you may be able to speak better to that. But
yeah, please. Sorry. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Sure. No, it was relatively recently, and I know that they were trying to restore that to as much of a natural system as possible. And so part of that included putting back those native grazers or those bison there. And I think that they're pretty happy with how things have gone. And they hope that perhaps the herd will increase just a little bit within the future.
You know, my one other observation from when I went hiking there is that, you know, if you go at sundown and you start casting a shadow, you can cast a shadow that's like miles and miles long. I mean, can you talk a little bit more about just the distinctive physical setting that people will find themselves in?
I think that, I mean, I guess Kansas is probably well known for its wide open spaces and big skies, and that Tallgrass Prairie Preserve really, really showcases that. And so just that tremendous, I guess relatively tremendous topographic relief, the rolling hills that you see, just a lot of untouched prairie is out there.
Jonathan, what distinguishes a good trail for hiking versus a good trail for biking?
I think that hikers are looking for a little bit different experience than bikers. And so for a lot of bikers, one of the things that they're interested in is a technical challenge. And so trails that have some elements of obstacles, some tight turns, some areas that are a little bit rocky, perhaps these steep inclines and grades. I think that hikers perhaps are there more to kind of appreciate the natural beauty of an area. They move at a little bit slower pace. And so there's a lot of overlap in terms of trails that are enjoyable, but I think each one has maybe just a little bit different focus for what they're looking to get out of a trail experience.
And then you've got horseback riding included in your book. Is there a lot of demand for that these days?
I'll let Kristen respond.
I would say that was another kind of surprising, perhaps sort of subculture, as I guess all kind of trail users could be considered. There's a pretty, the people who horseback ride in Kansas, there's definitely a population there, and they're definitely out there frequently at the parks. And so it may not be necessarily a large group of people doing it necessarily, but it's definitely like a devoted following.
Kristen, do you have a top recommendation for a trail for horseback riders?
I enjoyed at Malvern Lake, Eisenhower State Park, there were a couple of different options. They had one where you go sort of up into the timber and then you go down just sort of meandering along the lake, and you get a mix of kind of prairie and woodland areas and lake views, and that one was really nice. And then also out at Hillsdale Lake, there's a pretty expansive double-digit mileage sort of range of intersecting horse trails out there. So those were two that seemed really good for that.
Jonathan, what about you? A good horseback riding trail in your research?
I would say Kanopolis State Park is one of the top trails for horseback riding that I saw. They, again, have a longer trail system, and so one of the best ways to access that is by horseback. They've got the state park there set up to accommodate horses and horse campers. And so they've really worked to make that a desirable location. And it's just a beautiful spot as well. Some rugged Dakota sandstone canyons, a long trail network. And so, yeah, one of the best ways to see that is by horse.
And where is that located? What's a sort of nearby landmark?
I would say it's between Ellsworth and Salina.
So how about for a hike? What is one of your top picks for a hike? And let's set the scene a little bit. Like, let's just, for the argument, say it's a beautiful spring day. Dew on the grass. The sun is out. Time's not an issue. You can go anywhere in the state. Your number one choice for a hike. Let's start with you, Jonathan.
I would probably head down to Elk City and hike on the Elk River Trail. And that's just because that trail is unique among other trails within Kansas. There's opportunities for backpacking. And then, you know, there's also some really incredible rock formations. You get to look out over the lake and the Elk River. It's very, very scenic and a very nice trail.
Kristen, what's your top hiking trail in Kansas from the regions that you explored?
That's a tricky one. I would say I would head out west to Lake Scott. Scott State Park, they have a trail that goes all the way around the lake. And they have little side trails. You can go up on the cliffs and get even more amazing views out over the lake. There's a lot of history in that area. And like that morning you described, like a spring morning, like dew on the, like that's the image, like that's when I hiked that. And so that's kind of what I think of when I think of ideal Kansas hiking. And you can easily get to campsites. You can easily get down to the lake. It's, I think, an ideal situation.
So Kristen, you mentioned campsites. Is there a trail system that you think is ideal for someone who wants to go out on an overnight excursion?
I would say the one that Jonathan was describing was probably one of the ideal backpacking ones.
Which one was that again?
The Elk City, is that right?
The Elk River Trail.
Elk River,
at Elk City Lake, yes.
Anywhere that go on.
I was going to say, I think there, with the expansion of the rail trails, I think there would be an option to if you're biking it or conceptually backpacking, though I'd say perhaps bike camping would work better, that you could camp along that and sort of make it a longer, more extended experience.
Jonathan, do you have a favorite camping spot?
Oh, I would say I enjoy camping by some of the trails at Kanopolis State Park.
So those are coming up again and again as some of the favorites out here. Is there anything... like, let's say I really don't want to get too far from an urban area like Kansas City or Lawrence. What are my best bets in that case?
I would say there's some really great trails. I would look at Clinton State Park. There's some extensive trails there. Mountain bikers, Lawrence has some trails along the river that are available. And then Kristen would probably be able to speak more about trails within the Kansas City and Johnson County area.
Mm. I was really surprised out at Wyandotte County. They have, like, back in the trees there, they've had this sort of dedicated group of mountain bikers who have been carving out and making these new trails on both sides of the dam that's up there. So I think that it's far out enough that you feel outside of the city for sure, but it's not a hugely long distance to get there. In the introduction, you talked about Shawnee Mission Park, which is, again, right in the city, but they're also expanding some trails there, and that's a really great experience for sure, and it's really popular, so it's not like you'll be... Some of the trails in Kansas, you might be the only one out there, which can be really great in some ways, but if you want to have people around Shawnee Mission Park around there, that's a good place to go.
We had a caller who wasn't able to stay on the line, but he wanted to know whether dogs are allowed on these trails if they're on a leash. He was especially interested in bringing a dog to the tall grass prairie, it sounded like.
I'm not certain on that one.
Well, maybe it's a good idea to call ahead if you've got a dog, if there's like a center or something on site. How do you get in touch with, how do you find out the rules and policies of the places you're visiting?
Most of the visitor centers will have information. The state park offices are a good source of information as well. And then in our guidebook, we also try to provide that information for each of the different locations and then contact information as well. if you want to find out specific things.
So the one category we really haven't touched on much is biking. And Kristen, you just mentioned a place near Kansas City that where they've carved out some biking trails in a very DIY kind of manner in Wyandotte County. Any place else you'd recommend, Kristen, for bikers?
Again, Shawnee Mission Park had a pretty large bike population or people that were out biking. I would say down, it was in a small park, Gun Park, in Fort Scott, so sort of the southeast. And they, again, it started out with a guy just sort of going near the river and making a trail and eventually got city approval to sort of expand it. So that's an interesting kind of unexpected place. And then also in Manhattan off the Blue River, they have some trails there. There's some jumps and obstacles and just kind of some excitement, I would guess you would say, for those who are mountain bikers to kind of challenge themselves. Or if you're just learning, there's options within that too. So Manhattan and Fort Scott had some, or Gun Park had some good options.
Jonathan, what's your favorite biking trail?
I would say probably the North Shore trails at Clinton Lake are really good ones. There's a variety of loops for different abilities. There's also a skills course there. McClellan Park is just, it's in Topeka behind the governor's mansion. It's a really interesting location. There's some great mountain biking trails there. And then if you're ever headed west on I-70, I'd highly recommend that you take just a minute to get off at Wilson State Park, and the Switchgrass mountain bike trails there are just tremendous. They've been designated as an epic trail system by the International Mountain Biking Association, and they're a great spot here if you're headed west as well.
Epic, that's a pretty bold claim.
I would say it is a bold claim, but I would say it's fairly accurate. And again, it's you might not expect that out here in the western part of the state, but it's really a neat area.
I was intrigued by all the sunset pictures in the book. Do either of you have tips for enjoying a gorgeous sunset on a Kansas trail?
I would say that would be where you should head to the prairie, basically. So if it's wooded, it's not going to be great necessarily. But so head to the prairies, the tall grass, or out west to the short grass, or over a lake, I think would be your best kind of options. And I think there's nothing quite like a Kansas sunset. I don't think it's with the wide expanses you get, an experience you can't get in other places. So
that's quite something coming from someone who lives on a coast.
Exactly. So
Jonathan, what's new in Kansas trails? Anything that people who have been doing this for a while may not know, may not be updated on?
Yeah, I think that there really is a lot going on in terms of new trail developments. I'd say we're almost in a trails renaissance within the state. One of the things in particular is the extension and expansion of these rail trails, former rail lines that are now converted to long distance trails. The Flint Hills Nature Trail will be the longest trail in Kansas from Osawatomie to Council Grove. And then that will eventually connect to a trail called the Landon Nature Trail that runs up to Topeka. And then the Prairie Spirit Rail Trail is a 50-plus-mile trail from Ottawa running south through Garnett and then down towards Iola there. So all of those have been developed fairly recently, and they're continuing construction on some of those even as we speak. And so that's a really exciting opportunity to see some of these longer trails start to come together and be available.
Jonathan Connard, thanks so much for talking about this Kansas Trail Guide.
Thank you.
And thank you too, Kristen.
Thanks. It was great to be here.
Jonathan and Kristen wrote the Kansas Trail Guide for hikers, bicyclists, and horseback riders,